Amen.
We're going to learn about endurance and then look at the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 15 and 16. We'll start off, if you guys would go to Romans chapter 5.
Romanos.
So the teaching is really endurance through trials and trying to show fruit. Because if we don't know why we are enduring something, then we have a tendency to fail at it. We're not going to do it. And I love that it says in the Gospels that a woman who's giving birth does it because she has hope. Well, giving birth to a baby doesn't require faith, does it? No, you know exactly what you're getting. Yahweh has... He's conscripted us to give birth to things that we don't even know what they are. And He's asked us to endure great hardship, all of us. And one day we'll go to His Son and He's going to go, "You are such a wimp." Maybe you won't say that. Maybe you're like, a coach said that, you're like water, the path of least resistance. And actually in sports we learned that where the greatest resistance is that's the target. So as a defensive lineman, if they start pressing me more here, I have to increase right there because that's where I need to go. It's just the opposite. But in sports, I know what I'm doing. We don't know. And Hebrews 11:6 says, "Without faith it is impossible. What is Christ's job at the right hand of the Father? Is to give each one of us like an oil well, produce your faith." And we think about that. How many times, like with the parable, it says that this fig tree hasn't given me any figs. Chop it down. I wonder how many times Yahweh has felt that way about me in certain areas. And Yehoshua, as the mediator between God and man and demon, is like, "Dad, give me 6 months more of Aaron." And then you better get your act in order. And sometimes in our own lives, a big shock or something has to happen to get our life straight. And then there's other times that we're not doing anything wrong. We're doing great, and all of a sudden great hardship happens. And the importance of by having the Ruah and having prophecy and like what I need to be. But if you'd read Romans chapter 5, and if somebody would read verse 3 through 4 for me.
"And not only so, but let us boast also in our tribulation, knowing that our tribulation worketh out endurance, and our endurance a testing, and our testing hope."
So, working out endurance, how do we know what our endurance is? I don't realize what's happened to my endurance until I go run. And I do my morning run. I used to run an hour a week, and I would do a 30-minute run, then I'd do an hour a week, and that didn't include my morning run. And I went to do a 30-minute run the other day, and I'm going as slow as a grandma. I couldn't believe my body. My mind's fine. My body's breaking down. And I'm like, "I'm going. I'm slower than a street sweeper. My body's overheating, and I know a thing or two about running. And my body's breaking down. How can this even be?" And I had to sit there and go, "What happened, y'all? When was the last time you ran 30 minutes on it?" "It's been 3 years." She goes, "What do you think's going to happen after 3 years?" Yeah. Okay, that's endurance. And sometimes in our own life, we look, and it's through physical, the gym and exercise shows us physical endurance. But it's through trials and tribulation is spiritual endurance. Physical endurance, sometimes we can endure because we know, hey, I'm going to be sitting in an airplane for 15 hours. I'm going to be alone. It's worth it. But spiritual endurance, you're getting attacked left and right, and you're, "I don't know if I'm going..." Obviously, you got to check in because you could be reaping what you've sown, right? "I'm under attack." "You're not under attack. You're reaping what you've sown." I've had people come to me, "Well, you better get your life straight." Now turn to James chapter 1. So endurance is a process. And in Romans 5, we are boasting in the tribulations also, knowing that tribulations worketh endurance. We should be, a part of our resume, have I trained my endurance, my spiritual endurance. And here this is, and think about when Peter and John get beaten, right in the book of Acts at the very beginning, and they start rejoicing because they are learning to get beaten. What is that? And I'm like, man, there's some people going through some tribulation, but there's great endurance. If you read verse 2 through 4.
What chapter?
Chapter 1, James.
All joy account it, my brethren, whensoever you fall in with manifold temptations, taking note that the proving of your faith worketh out endurance. But let your endurance have mature work, that you may be mature and complete, in nothing coming short.
And so the Hebrews chapter 11, they're going to say it's the faith chapter. My dad did a teaching once, because it's really endurance. And with endurance, there's great amon or faith. But without endurance, there is no faith. You have to endure. Who can endure hardship? And we look at King David, we love to be a king, but we got to go back and look what this guy had to endure.
Yeah.
And what did he do wrong? Besides Bathsheba and his husband, this guy did, and look at his life, what kind of tribulation. But if our mental idea is right, we should be actually inviting tests of endurance. And go farther. There's a chance, for instance, when we get older, we don't have a choice with some of our physical endurance, right?
Right.
Well, then we should be able to compensate spiritually. Mm-hmm. I can't physically do this, but I can excel spiritually. Physically, my body is breaking down, and I can't do certain things. Well, how about spiritually? Can you read more? Yeah, I can. Can you speak in tongues more? Absolutely. Can you pray? You can do these things. That's what we should compensate. But it says, count it all joy. Manifold temptations, they work out endurance, and endurance. So here this whole, don't turn to Hebrews chapter 5, or 12. Chapter 12, verse 5 through 6. If somebody would read that for me.
And you have quite forgotten the exhortation, which indeed with you as with sons does reason. My son, be not slighting the discipline of Yahweh, neither be fainting when by him thou art reproved. For whom Yahweh loveth, he does discipline, and scourges every son whom he hath welcomed home.
Yeah, so, don't be fainting. Oh, how many times I faint. And the kind of context here is that he wants all of us to grow up. And he's not satisfied with any of us. And we're looking at Moses at the end of his life. Yahweh's going, you got more in the tank. Come on, Moses. Let's go do something. Are you sure about this? Moses! How much time you got left? Let's go do an adventure. Come on! And then I think what we have to do is give ourselves pep talks to say, tribulation, and stuff like that. We can actually invite it, not unnecessary. I don't want any unnecessary tribulation or hardship. No, I don't want it. But Yahweh, if it can glorify you, and we can get some, how would you like to be carried away in a whirlwind like Philip or Elijah? Wouldn't that be neat?
Yeah.
Okay, we start thinking about, would you like to do some of those things? And Yahweh's going, look, I'm right here. I got it all. You want to do this? Let's go do this. And our mind kind of look at that screen. But I think that's where movies are so good too. Because when you watch a movie like a Hacksaw Ridge, and here's this guy who's just beaten and beaten and beaten up, and he's humiliated. But through the movie that Mel Gibson did with Hacksaw Ridge, he's being prepared for hardship. And they're calling him a coward. You're a coward. Just quit. You're a coward. He's not. And then it actually all that it prepared him to save like 100 lives. And if you look at that, what he said is, Lord, just one more.
Yeah.
He didn't say 5. Didn't say 10. And anybody that does any kind of endurance, if you go running, you don't look a mile down. And if you look one driveway, I can make it to that side.
Mm-hmm.
I can quit after that side. And there's a Navy SEAL, he goes, oh, it's okay to quit, but quit tomorrow.
Yeah.
And this Navy SEAL is saying, it's okay, quit tomorrow. We're going to quit tomorrow. And then he waited the next day, I don't need to quit. And what he was able to do just one more by doing it is quitting is never acceptable. failure. Okay. But now we were going to quit. But it should be, like even in his case, Private Doss, he wasn't going to quit. And so he kept going and going and going and going. Then we look afterwards, like, what a hero. How many lives did he impact? You look at that, but what did he have to endure? And you look at that, and you look at the end. And if he knew the end of that movie, wow, how much would he have been more fired up? But he didn't know the end of the movie, which makes it so beautiful to watch. He didn't know what was going to happen. And that's what good writing is. Lord of the Rings or Tolkien or Mission Impossible, they're enduring great hardship. And then at good writing at the end, you're going to see resolution. You're going to go, and that's what our Father's doing in our lives right now. We are all on stage right now. And you're going, you want to do this? Let's do this. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36. Endurance required for the promises. For of endurance you have need, in order that, having done the will of Yahweh, you may bear away the promise. Then in Hebrews 11, the whole thing is about they endure. And how do they endure? And the ultimate thing that we have in the tent to endure is the resurrection. Actually, I think what's even before the resurrection is going to be the judgment seat of Christ. And you hear, well done. You made it.
Yeah.
And then the second thing is, this is what you've inherited. And when we read through that, how did Samson endure all that? How did Jephthah, Jael's in there, I think. Not Deborah, it's interesting. But when you look at these guys, how did they do this? And they just endured, and they endured, and look what happened. They're Yahweh's heroes. Now turn to Acts chapter 15. And what we're going to be looking at is conflict. Naturally, the human nature is to avoid conflict. And we heard that last night with that guy Jennings with KFL. What a great leader this guy is.
Yeah.
Because he says, it's not easy. It's not supposed to be easy. And actually, if it's easy, we might be going the wrong way. It's easy. Just blend in. And you're like, no, we're here for conflict. I'm going to stand here, and we are to stand firm in the word. And if you press against me, you're going to get divided. You can press against a knife blade, it doesn't move. And that's what we get in the word. And that's what I think what he was saying too. I just read another one. Yeah, he did. He said that last night, James, and I'm reminding my dad. He goes, you don't have to understand it and be able to explain all your arguments. Stand firm on an issue. And you start changing everything. This guy doesn't back down. He's driving me nuts. There he is again. And he goes, you'll have an impact. Like that. That's my father with the word. And that's the Apostle Paul. That's Peter. That's John. Stop saying his name. You just killed him. Didn't you learn? And here's all of Jerusalem. Now, the conflict. Saul was killing. It says later on that he was delivering people into death in Acts. He's persecuting the body of Christ, and what happens is he gets delivered. Nobody trusts him.
Yeah.
And who helps Saul? Barnabas. So Barnabas is the leader. Come on, Saul. And now here's the rest of the disciples, and they're like, really? Barack Obama's coming over? Right, yeah. Well, he's okay now. Right, but Barnabas convinces him. Saul, Paul is invited in, and now the two of them are working together. Verse 35 of chapter 15. And if we read right above it, you see the notes. Paul and Barnabas, differing about Mark, separate. And so what they're going to do is they're going to split up. Conflict. And sometimes I think the church is splitting. I heard one person say it's the worst thing that could ever happen to a church, and this guy was from a church. And after he said that, I obviously started being the devil's advocate. And I go, Yahweh split his own church. Right? Who is for Yahweh? You Levites go kill everybody that's not for me. Get them out. And he says, remove the leaven. Split. Keep things clean. It's just the opposite. But here comes, we'll start at verse 3 and 5. Verse 35, chapter 15, but Paul and Barnabas tarried in Antioch. And if you want to look, there's a map here. And the blue is going to be, this is the Apostle Paul's second missionary. So here's Antioch. I didn't know there's two Antiochs. Did you know that? Yeah, okay. Antioch, so they're over here in Syria area. Let's see. They tarried in Antioch, teaching and telling the joyful tidings, and many other also the word of the Lord. In certain days, Paul said to Barnabas, let us now return and visit the brethren in every city in which we have declared the word of the Lord, or Yahweh's word, so and see how they are. And Barnabas was minded to take with him John, also called Mark. But Paul deemed it right as to him who had, Paul deemed it right as to him who had withdrawn from them back in Pamphylia and had not gone with them unto the work, not to be taking with them this man. What's verse 39 say?
There was an anger feeling.
It's going to happen. And we're going to find out. This angry feeling is very necessary. How many times do you get an angry feeling with family? That's it. Thanksgiving's never going to be the same. Golly, it went in our heart. Our family just keeps waning away. Staying forth on the word. Stand on it. Remain firm. Yahweh is your family. There was an angry feeling, so that they separated one from another, and Barnabas, taking Mark, sailed away from Cyprus. Did we ever hear from Barnabas again? No. One day we'll get to find out. Verse 40, whereas Paul, choosing Silas, went forth, committing them to the favor of the Lord by the brethren, and proceeded to pass through Syria and Cilicia. What's that word?
Cilicia.
Confirmed the assemblies. And it came even to Derbe and Lystra. And a certain disciple was there by the name of Timothy. Where's Timothy from? He's from Asia.
Oh, yes.
What churches are going to be from Asia? Well, we have the Colossians, we have Ephesus, and we have Galatia, right? And later on, there's an Apostle Paul going to tell, I never knew Timothy was from Asia. Paul's going to tell Timothy in 2 Timothy, don't be a coward. All of Asia is turned away. And that's where Timothy's from, too. You're like, wow, I never knew that. I'll go back to Timothy, by the name of Timothy, son of a believing Jewish woman, but whose father was a Greek, who was well attested by the brethren in Lystra and Iconium. The same would Paul have go forth with him and took and circumcised him on account of the Jews who were in those places. Did they want to circumcise him? No. What is this? It's suffering. It's not even necessary. But the Apostle Paul, what I believe, that when Paul and Barnabas, it appears, I could be wrong, Barnabas plateaus and Paul is just getting started with revelation and learning. As I hear, he's circumcising. For they, one knew that his father was a Greek, verse 4. They passed through the cities, they were delivering unto them for observance the decree which had been decided upon them by the apostles and the elders who were in Jerusalem. The assemblies, therefore, were being confirmed in faith and increasing in number every day. So they're down here, and they're going to be going this way. Look how far Asia is. It's not... It's a long way. And if you look where he's going, it's not on a boat. Somebody travels on a boat. Okay, so what do you do on a boat? I don't know. You play chess? But he's walking. He's going to be walking this far. In 6. And they passed through Phrygia and Galatia country, then Asia, being forbidden by the Ruach to speak the word in Asia. How far is Asia? Let's take a look at this. They're going to be going through Asia. And Yahweh said, don't witness to them. Is that important to know when to be quiet?
Yeah.
So they're not. So wait a minute. It looked like the disciples. Where is that? Back in verse 4, the apostles, they were sending them through Asia, and they went, how did they know to be quiet? Yahweh said, shh. That's why it's important, him and Silas, or Timothy, I guess it's him and Timothy, they did Silas, being, I got a confirmation. Don't talk. Don't witness. I got the same thing. What's the point? Where are we going? I don't know. And they keep going. So to go through, and see here, by the Holy Spirit in Asia, verse 7. But coming into Mysia, they were attempting to journey into Bithynia. Hey, waste of time. Why didn't you just tell us not to go to Asia before we got to Asia? What are you doing in Asia? Don't go there. Oh, okay, so we're going here. So we're going to go to Mysia, attempting. And the Spirit of Jesus said, nope. What are you doing here? But passing by Mysia, they came into Troas. And see, you can see Troas on here if you want to see where they are. Now, look how far they've gone.
What?
Antioch, here's Troas, all the way over here. It's the blue line.
Okay.
How did they get there? We're walking. And what are we doing here? Go. They're being sent. And don't speak here, don't speak there. Okay, so they get to Troas, and then look what happens in verse 9. My brother-in-law who's in the military, he said in the military, you get your orders, go to such and such a place. Once you get there, you'll be briefed.
You'll be what?
Briefed. Do your job, and you'll get briefed as you go. He goes, in the military, it's none of your business what's going to happen. And he said, actually, the military could be good trained with using the ruler. He didn't tell me what's going to happen. Go. So they get there in verse 9. And a vision by night unto Paul appeared. A man in Macedonia there was standing and beseeching him and saying, come over to Macedonia and bring a succor. I wonder if Paul is praying and he's going, what are we doing here? What's going on? And he gets a vision like Peter. Peter got a vision like that. In verse 10, and when the vision he had seen, straightway he sought to go forth into Macedonia. Okay. Concluding that Yahweh had summoned us. Isn't that neat? Yahweh had summoned us to tell the glad message unto them. So what, Yahweh did not tell them before they walked through Asia. He could have told them. No. And they get to Troas, and Yahweh goes, you're going to go to those people in Macedonia. Finally, we have our target. Let me see here. Verse 11. Setting sail, therefore, from Troas, we ran straight into Samothracia, and on the morrow, unto New City. And from thence unto where?
Philippi.
This is the Apostle Paul's first trip to who? Philippi, which is in Macedonia, and there's a book called Philippians, which indeed was the first city to point of Macedonia, a colony, and we were in the city spending certain days, and on the day of rest, we went forth outside the gate beside a river where we were supposed there was a place of prayer, and sitting down, we went on, think about that, okay, it looks like they were looking for a place to pray, and sitting down, we went on to speak of the women, who had come together. This really reminds me of Christ at Jacob's fountain. Christ is there and a woman shows up. Verse 14, a certain woman by the name of Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, devout towards Yahweh, was hearkening, whose heart the Lord or Yahweh fully opened to be giving heed unto the things spoken by Paul. Now that really makes me think of the woman at the fountain. Can you imagine? Yahweh says, don't talk, don't talk, don't talk, talk. And all of a sudden, here she is, one person. And my dad did a teaching on the man of the capitalist. Christ endured a hurricane for one guy. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's all it is. Philip, with Candace's servant in the chair, one guy. And so... so here's this one woman, this one cult, in verse 16, And when she was immersed in her house, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be a believer in the Lord or Yahweh, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. And it came to pass as we were on our way into the place of prayer, a certain damsel having a spirit of Python met us, who indeed much gain was presenting to her masters by divining, but saying, following after Paul and us, kept crying aloud, saying, these men are servants of the Most High God, who indeed are declaring to you a way of salvation, not the way. And this she continued to do for many days. But Paul, worn out, turning unto the Spirit, said, I charge thee in the name of Yehoshua Mashiach to come out of her. So, Paul suffered many days. And I heard her teaching. What would have happened while she is there harassing him? You know, I thought somebody just arguing, debate, and I'd get out of here. But the Apostle Paul would have got a revelation, endure it. And that's where 1 Corinthians go. Can't you endure a little hardship? And my father, he called me out on that once. Can't you suffer a little wrong? Well, yeah, I can't. Okay, come on. Suffer some wrong. Here the Apostle Paul said, that's it! And then he gets the green light, come out. The woman gets delivered. And you can imagine, and what happened, she's going to get saved, right?
Yeah.
And you can imagine Paul going, man, that was so irritating. And then when Paul goes on later on his way to Rome, he starts reciting, this is what he did to Christ. He was persecuting Christ. And what did Christ do? He suffered. And he endured. And then he said, Paul, come out. And he blinded him. And so I really see when Paul starts giving that speech, I bet you he was like, wow. That's what he did for me. And that's what we should be ready to do. To be able to endure. Let me see here. And in verse 19, the masters, seeing that their hope again had gone out, laying hold on Paul and Silas, dragged them into the marketplace and into the rulers, and leading them forth into the magistrates, said, these men are exceedingly troubling our city, being Jews, and are declaring customs which are not allowable for us, either to accept, to observe, being Romans. And the multitudes rose together against them, and the magistrates, rending them off their mantles, were giving orders to beat them with their rods. What would any normal human start thinking? I missed it.
Yeah.
We should not be here. They will give you information. Keep your mouth shut. Go this way. Don't go this way. And also, you start getting beat. Your clothes are ripped off. You just delivered somebody, and now we're being beat, and there's a mob, and here's the whole thing. Well, man, do we, him and Silas, you gotta imagine, do we miss something? Let's see here. In verse 23, and laying upon them many stripes, they thrust them into prison, charging the prisoner keeper safe and to be keeping them. And what's really important about this is later on, the Apostle Paul's going to get beat. He goes, is it right for you to beat me as a Roman?
Yeah.
And the other guy goes, you better be careful. And his boss that was in fear, not just that he was a Roman, but they put shackles on Roman. Now these guys just beat a Roman, so why didn't they tell him that they were Romans? Yahweh would have told them, take it. Man, did they know what was going to happen? And so, verse 26, and at midnight, Paul and Silas, being at prayer, began singing praises to Yahweh. And I bet the singing the praises of Yahweh right there is just like what we do. Like we just went through some endurance and some hardship, right? The first thing you do is you got to have reference points. You have to have GPS and landmarks to say, hey, did I mess up? And then you get confirmation that they're going to find the letter. Somebody else, they're going to find the letter. And here, Paul and Silas, did we mess up? No. He said, Silas, did Yahweh tell you not to say the Romans? And Silas said, he said, don't talk. He's been training us to not talk. They just went through Asia. Keep your mouth shut. Now they're beaten. Keep your mouth shut. And I bet you it was after that they get confirmation. They start singing praises. Okay. Matthew 5:10, if you suffer hardship, raise your reward. Okay. And suddenly a great earthquake took place, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken and all the doors were set. Can you imagine? What does it sound like in a prison?
Yeah.
It's got good acoustics. Awful. And then you got two lunatics singing praises after they just got beat. And what do we know about praises? It's contagious. You start hearing it, and you're like, who else was in this prison? They go, what is going on here? And who else was listening? That we saw that with, what was it, the Great Awakening, when the guy starts witnessing and washing feet, an awakening inside the prison. And let's see here. Verse 27, all their chains are open, unfastened, and the prison keeper being awakened and seeing the doors of the prison had been opened, drawing his sword, was about to kill himself, supposing the prisoners to have fled. But Paul called out with a loud voice, saying, like Dad said, it's dark. How does Paul know he's going to kill himself?
Revelation.
Here we are, it goes, now. Tell him not to kill himself. That's a prophecy, sending a text message out of nowhere. He goes, don't kill yourself. How do you know I'm going to kill myself? Let me see here. By no means do thyself harm, for we are one and all here. And asking for a light, he sprang in and became agitated. He fell down into Paul and Silas. And leading them forth outside, said, sirs, what must I be doing that I may be saved? There was a revival there. So think about this area. Where are they? They're in Philippi. The woman, the seller of purple, she gets delivered. Like the woman at the fountain, you think she's going to evangelize?
Mm-hmm.
Then she has come. Then the woman with the spirit of Python, she gets delivered by Mary Magdalene. Do you think she's talking to some people? Yeah, she has lost her job. What happened? Then they get beaten. The people that beat Paul and Silas, they beat them. They're locked up, and here this whole thing is, and how many people are being impacted here? Where did I stop? And verse 31, they said, believe on the Lord, Yehoshua, that thou shalt be saved, thou and thy house. And they, in that meeting, now think about this. This started with a vision, right?
Mm-hmm.
Cornelius started with a vision. And it was Cornelius and his house that got saved. Here, starts with a vision, and now this man and his house is going to get saved. Let's see here. In verse 32, and they spake unto them the word of Yahweh with all who were in the house, and taking with them in that hour of the night, he bathed them from their stripes. I mean, how bad would you feel? Clayton, his stripes, and he was immersed, he and his, and one and all of the, on the spot. Can you imagine this prisoner? His family just got saved. Maybe he had some kids. And the kids are like, Dad, why are you bathing a guy in the middle of the night? What is going on here? And why are you being so nice to these guys? And here, you can imagine that household, that family, the fellowship they had after. If they were kids, what just happened? We just all got saved. In verse 34, then leading them up into the house, he set their table and exalted having with his house, believing in Yahweh. And then later on, With the goats, there's going to be goats. There's sheep and there's goats. And there's goats in the church. And here, when the goats came, what does Paul does? Yehoshua says, tell them you're a Roman. And tell them, you come down here. And now he serves them like a legal notice. Now you be tough with them. And this revival that we just read is how the church of Philippi was started.
Yeah.
How many times could the Apostle Paul lean back and go, man, did I really miss this? Is this even worth it? And then somebody quotes him a scripture, Philippians 4:13. The Apostle Paul, I can do all things through him. And then later on, Yahushua goes, Paul, how did you get that scripture? Man, I got beat bad. I got beat really bad. Yeah, you remember that? Yeah. That's the book of Philippians. So every time we read the book of Philippians, this is the foundation. And what we should be ready to do is say, okay, Now help me. I don't want to take on more than I can. I don't want to quit. Because if I try to do too much, you see people, they quit. You know my endurance. But work with me in my endurance and teach us to start preparing ourselves. And we're going to finish in Galatians chapter 6. So turn to Galatians chapter 6. To be preparing ourselves to say every single day we should get up and the first thing out of our mouth before we get out of the bed is what? It should be an offering to Yahweh in Christ. It should, and what is his favorite thing? His words. Do you think Shakespeare would like people to quote Shakespeare to him? His grandsons? You want to give him some? Holy, 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 Yahweh of hosts, the fullness, the whole earth is his glory. And I got that, before we go there, recently I got to go to a wedding. And on the way to the wedding, we got to hear Veronica's music. She's just doing the songs. And it was about after the 10th song that I'm loving it. My flesh started going, it's all about Yahweh, 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 Yahweh. Because I had never heard that many songs about Yahweh before.
Yeah.
And I sit there and went, the whole book's about that. And who put that name in there? The author of the book put his own name in there 6,831 times. And this book is his, him, you know, it was during that Yahweh started communicating, and he was like, Aaron, have you ever opened your heart to somebody and you trusted them with your heart and they hurt you? I said, oh yeah, I've done that. He goes, my word is me trusting my creation with my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And you, some people spin on it. They hate it. They cut it up. But when I got to hear her word, her music, it was the first time in my life I'd heard the songs the way they were written.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
I never heard it that way, but because of her word. And I'm like, wow. So the first thing we should do is get out of bed and say, holy, 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 or oh yeah, in the morning. Get it, have a verse ready to go. And if you, you don't have one, memorize that one, ready. Got one right here. Give it to them. And then say, today is a day for me to exercise my endurance. It is not a day for me to beg for a comfortable life. What person who lived a comfortable life did anything extraordinary? That's the most boring story there is. There's no conflict.
Yeah.
Jimmy Carter.
Yeah.
What did the guy do? He didn't do anything. And then, but instead, you're just the opposite of the flesh and say, Father, today is a day through your Son for me to exercise my endurance. And even if my body is falling down, I can spiritually exercise more than ever. And in areas my body is not being obedient, the Spirit is more than willing. And some of the best teachers and ministers are old, but spiritually they are powerful. But invite them in and say, train me. Train me to do what it says in Romans chapter 5 in John. Count it all joy when you got to do endurance. Tribulation works out endurance. And help me be like an Apostle Paul. So we read chapter 6, verse 9.
In thy doing that which is honorable, let us not be faint-hearted, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not.
And then think about that. It's just, I mean, all of us in here, and anybody listening, any devout believer has endured what I just said. All of us have.
Mm-hmm.
Been through something where you suffer wrong or hardship, and like, man. But then you say, okay, there's a reward. There's a great reward. And this thing about the Philippian church, the church of Philippi. Can you imagine the Apostle Paul getting to see what the book of Philippians did?
Yeah.
Paul, come over here. And I like to think, trying to understand what judgment's going to be like, and Ron kind of talking about how he's going to judge trillions of people. And I was like, I like to think he's got like a time machine. I think he frees time or something. But I like to think that he's going to download certain things. I feel like the Apostle Paul's going to get downloaded. Here's the movie of Philippians. Boom! Wow! And we're going to have one of those. Now, so Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for, your word and your rock, so that we can know when we're going through Asia, or we're going to, so we know where we're going. So we thank you, Father, for these words. Do not be fearful of the future, and don't be scared of time. Time is in my hand. Nothing can be taken that I can't restore. So confront each day and confront your fears, knowing that the Lion of the tribe of Judah stands behind you, and nothing intimidates me. Be of good courage and know that I am patient with you, and I am also excited with each one of you as you consider taking another step in more discipline and endurance. And I want all of you to know that a good leader rewards his soldiers. I will not just reward you in the next life, but in this life too. Not just with rewards, but with stories of victories. Where would David be without the head of Goliath? Where would David have been without the resistance of the Philistines? So I write stories that will be told from time and time again to millions of people about what you went through and I as we walked hand in hand through Christ.
Amen. Mm-hmm.